So I did actually make collard greens, black-eyed peas, cornbread, and it was a wild turkey breast that we marinated. There was no ham. However, there was smoked neck bone in the collards. So that's kind of like ham, right?
Yeah, that's how
I think
you,
I got my bases covered.
That's how you get it juicy.
Happy New Year's, you guys.
This is
New Year's Day on this recording. This is Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast, and this is a mini-sode where we're going to talk about our favorite films of the fall or the previous year. Our top 18 of 2018. Is that correct?
That is right.
All right. And so, in general, how do you feel like cinema was this year?
I thought it was a great year for movies.
It was a really good year for movies. I agree. Andrew? Oh, Andrew's here also.
Hello. Happy New Year.
The Canadian in your brain again.
We need to do intros.
Oh, my name is...
Checklist Travis.
And I am joined, as always, here in the Chop Shop Garage by my co-host, 2018 movie Marichon.
There you go.
And also, the Canadian in your brain again is here. We've kept him in South Carolina. We're holding you hostage.
He's been detained at the border.
The Canadian government has to pay a hefty price to get you back. All right, so we feel like it was a good year in cinema. Andrew, what did you think of movies this year?
Good. I mean, after last year, there were so many outside of the movies news stories that were rocking Hollywood. It kind of got back to
absolutely
the movies.
True. All right. So the basic format, we're going to talk about our top 18, but we've each picked a top six.
I couldn't narrow it down.
The top third of the movies. And these are going to be in no particular order. These are not ranked lists.
And this is by no means a comprehensive list of movies.
No.
And we haven't seen them all.
We haven't. And there's a few movies that have yet to become available that I would like to see that may have made my list, but that's the way the cookie crumbles.
We obviously need to be on the Oscar voting list.
Yeah.
So we can have screeners sent to us.
Academy members.
Yes.
All right. So go ahead and go first with your...
Well, before we do, let's go ahead and do the obligatory beer check.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So I took a trip up to Charlotte, and I went to a Resident Culture.
Okay.
And this is a triple IPA called... called Dance Till You're Dead. Appropriate for New Year's Eve. But 9.5%.
I didn't do any actual dancing last night. I did do some chair dancing.
Yeah?
Like in my chair.
That's pretty much where I restrict myself to because there's a disconnect between the rhythm and my feet.
Oh, okay.
So as long as I stay seated, it can appear that I'm dancing.
All right, so tell me the name of this again.
This is called Dance Till You're Dead. It is
a triple IPA.
A triple IPA. It's
very hazy.
Hazy, juicy.
Almost opaque.
But I find it to be pretty balanced. Triple IPAs are really tricky. Either you can go too bitter or too sweet, and I think this one's
It's not overwhelmingly boozy either.
Mm-mm. I quite like it, which is dangerous.
Very nice.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I like this a lot.
Yeah. I thought you guys would like it, so there's your... Happy New Year. So you said you want to start off with our first salvo in terms of throwing out one of our top 18s?
Yes. We're going to start from the bottom 13, not necessarily bottom, but the ones that didn't make the top six.
In no particular order.
Bottom 12.
I'm going to put out one that I think that might not be on your list. To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
I haven't seen this.
Lana Condor, I mentioned her earlier in the year, is one of my check-ins, and she's a super talented Asian American actress, and it has been greenlit for a sequel. The reason I picked it is because it is the teen romance rom-com type movie, but I found it to be a little bit trend-bucking and a little different. It didn't fall into some of the same traps, especially with a lot of the shoegazing, emo type teen flicks that are out there. This one kind of breaks away from that.
Very nice. All right, so this one, I really wanted it to make my top six, but it didn't make the cut. It's called Bad Times at the El Royale. I really enjoyed this movie. It is kind of akin to Four Rooms, which we spoke about recently on our New Year's Eve episode. It's got everything. I think that my review at the time, not looking at that right now, but it's got cults, it's got hostages, it's got disguises, it's got secret, shady, creepy voyeurism hotel. It was a really good movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. You've also got Jeff Bridges. You've got John Hamm. You've got one of the Hemsworths. Chris Hemsworth is the cult leader guy. I really enjoyed it.
I've had my eye on that one, so I'm going to have to put that on my to-watch list. Here's one that I would love to have been in my top six, but I kind of felt since it was a documentary, it shouldn't be.
Okay.
Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Oh, Mr. Rogers, yes. Doc.
If you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it. It'll get you in the feelies.
It really will. The Tom Hanks biopic of Mr. Rogers, which I believe is called You Are My Friend.
Something about neighbors.
Has yet to come out, but I think it would be an interesting double feature.
Yeah,
with the documentary and then the Tom Hanks biopic, two America's dads that can really do no wrong in my book. So next up for me, I'll go with another documentary. I'm going to go with the movie Giant, which is the Andre the Giant documentary came out on HBO. Everybody loves Andre the Giant. You've got your Shepard Fairey, Obey Giant references. You've got, of course, the Princess Bride. But he was such an enigmatic figure, literally larger than life. And I learned even more about his backstory. And for example, I didn't know he was from a small town in France. That was one of the things I learned from this documentary about Andre the Giant. So Giant, I think it's still available on HBO Go.
Okay, cool. I'm going to put out, it came out in March of 18. It was an Adam Rifkin directed and written film starring Burt Reynolds in his final role.
Yes.
Kind of a swan song, The Last Movie Star.
Last Movie Star. And it was kind of foretelling, I guess. It was almost like a premonition that he would do this movie and then a matter of months later pass away.
Yeah, it's a great one. And I, for personal reasons, a lot of it was filmed in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Right. Didn't you say you've been to that bar where they were
the Long Branch Saloon
Festival?
Yeah, and that the airport that they claim was the Nashville airport was the Knoxville airport. So a lot of cool stuff. And Ariel Winter was quite good in it.
Yes.
I didn't
recognize on like first glance. She's playing a little bit out of character, or at least her modern family
character.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, I've got Blindspotting. Blindspotting is a movie that I talked about here on the show. It is with a couple of people from the Hamilton cast, and it's also these two guys, African-American and a Caucasian, who are best friends since they were little kids, and they're kind of coming up together, but our main character is on parole, and his parole is ending in a matter of days, and he's trying to stay out of trouble, but his longtime friend is very troublesome, and he's just trying to get by for the next couple days. Really, really awesome movie that I think has been a little bit overlooked.
My next one I'm going to put out there will be A Simple Favor.
Oh,
the Anna Kendrick movie
with Blake Lively.
And I like that one because it's very much in the same mold of Gone Girl.
It's if Gone Girl were funny.
Yeah, funny and just a little bit even more twisted. But I think that Anna Kendrick in that role of the social media mom, was just that's just a perfect part for her.
Yeah, it was great. She's so awesome. She's got this like awkward likability.
Yeah,
this quality, this affable quality that not a lot of people can pull off. Okay, next up, I've got Psychokinesis.
Excellent.
Psychokinesis is it's a sci-fi slash drama where we've got this Asian man who is estranged from his daughter. No?
And it's got some funny stuff in it.
There's
I'm just thinking back to some of the funny scenes of when he's trying to get a grip on his abilities. And
yeah, so he's estranged from his daughter. He's trying to mend that relationship, but he also comes to find that he has telekinetic powers to the nth degree. And it was kind of a under-the-radar movie. Not a lot of people have been talking about this one, but Psychokinesis, a sleeper hit for me.
Very good. I'm going to talk about Slice.
Oh, Slice. I love it.
Slice was a horror slasher comedy flick.
With Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper and, oh gosh, help me with the girl's name.
Oh, Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz.
Yes.
And Paul Scheer's in
it. Paul Scheer, one of the human giants.
Great, great soundtrack, which, as I showed you online, the soundtrack was released as a vinyl. The vinyl looked like a pizza.
Oh, so awesome.
And the packaging looked like a pizza box. And inside, were like it looked like the handwritten tickets that they used to take at like the mom and pop pizza places. It's
yes.
All the track listings. Very cool.
That's so cool. Andrew, we don't want to leave you out. You want to weigh in on any of these?
I have a fun fact about Andre the Giant,
okay,
actually.
Cool.
So you mentioned he grew up in a small town outside of Paris. And I've heard this rumor. I haven't verified it just yet, but I think it's true that Samuel Beckett used to give Andre the Giant rides to school. That's Irish playwright Samuel Beckett when he was in Paris. So that's an interesting little bit of paths crossing.
Like on his bike? Like
in his big truck, because Andre the Giant was too big
for the school bus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I buy it. I buy it completely. Okay, next up for me, I love dogs.
Nice.
I mean, Isle of Dogs, the most recent picture from our tour director, Wes Anderson. It's all stop motion animation. It is a lovable story, all from the point of view of man's best friend.
I enjoyed that movie a lot, but I bumped it out just so I can make room for the one superhero flick on my list. Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. Chadwick Boseman South Carolina.
I found it to be a really bright light in the glut of superhero flicks. And they didn't even make a big deal about it, that it was girl power. His sisters and the leader of the guard and them taking the mantle and really owning that movie, in my opinion, and kind of stealing the show. I thought that they did a great job. And I don't know, it was just a neat flick that kind of let different genders and ethnicities kind of rise to the top where they usually play second fiddle in these types of films. So I thought it was a great breath of fresh air in that genre.
Very cool. All right, so next up for me, I'm going to go with Outlaw King. Outlaw King is what I consider to be the sequel or the spiritual sequel to Braveheart. It's about Robert the Bruce after William Wallace is executed by the English. And Chris Pine plays Robert the Bruce, and he's good, but the standout role in the movie is by our dude from Kick-Ass. What is his name? Aaron Taylor Johnson. Aaron Taylor Johnson, is that right?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. So
Aaron Taylor Johnson is the guy from...
Oh, the lead for Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he's completely berserker in this movie.
Nice.
He is fighting not only for his country, but also to get his rightful nobility, land, and title back.
Very cool.
It was an awesome movie. I really enjoyed it. And I think I talked about this before. Unbeknownst to us, my parents were watching it at the same time I was. And I texted my mom. I was like, oh, I think you would like this movie. She's like, the credits are rolling right now.
I am going to talk about, and I just mentioned it recently on a previous episode on Movie Marathon, Searching. Searching
okay.
is the film with one half of the Harold and Kumar group.
John Cho.
John Cho. And he is searching for his daughter who has gone missing. And he's using all the means that he would have at his disposal as a civilian, which is Google. And I made a comment about how it felt like I was watching an ad for Google.
Yeah.
He was working in tandem with Deborah Messing, who was the detective on the case.
And does Neil Patrick Harris show up at any point?
Does not. And there is no White Castle. But it is a really neat film, and I'm not going to give away the twist ending, but it's a good one. I really liked it, and I don't think it got enough buzz this year.
Okay. My next one is A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Very good.
This is starring Will Forte, and it's about the people who started the National Lampoon. Is that right? I believe
that's
it
right.
Is.
Yep, the magazine.
Yeah. The tagline is, if you don't watch this movie, we'll kill Will Forte.
And that was one of the famous covers for National Lampoon. They had a gun to a dog's head, I think. And
yeah. Said, if you don't buy this magazine, we'll kill this dog.
Yeah.
The National Lampoon became globally recognized after the monumental success of Animal House. So he was one of the writers, the main character was one of the writers of Animal House, and Will Forte plays him, and it's hilarious, but also kind of touching, because you get to see that human side of the people who make us laugh.
Yep. Next for me will be First Man.
Oh, yeah.
This is the
Adam and Eve story.
The Adam and Eve of yes, exactly. And Ryan Gosling plays Adam. No, he plays...
Adam Armstrong.
Adam Armstrong, yes. As I said before, a lot of it felt like the right stuff, but I guess subject-wise, it kind of has to.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated the authenticity. It really felt like we were in that time period, in his life. But for me, the real kicker was his first step off the lunar lander onto the moon's surface. They really captured just how breathtaking and monumental it must have been from his point of view to do that. And that really, really sealed it for me as making it one of my picks for 2018.
So the you mentioned the right stuff. I think there was actually one character or one historical figure that overlapped. And I'm blanking on the name, but I think that one of the people in the right stuff was actually like one of the older astronauts who was helping to prep Neil Armstrong for the first man gig. All right, next up, I've got Galveston.
Ooh.
Galveston is a movie based on a book that I actually read. I learned how to read, and I read this book. And it's by Nick Pizzolatto, one of the creators of True Detective.
Okay.
I might be mispronouncing his name.
Right. Okay. Yes.
And it stars Elle Fanning, who, in my opinion, just keeps getting better and better. And also Ben Foster, who never disappoints as a character actor. And it's kind of a crime noir. After a violent encounter, Roy finds Rocky and sees something in her eyes that prompts a fateful decision. He takes her with him as he flees to Galveston.
Very nice. I'm going to go with Dumplin'.
Oh, so good. Pick. I love it.
Love that film. Jennifer Aniston produced it and is one of the stars in it. It has a kickin' soundtrack featuring a lot of Dolly Parton songs.
Yep.
About a girl who is of a larger size who competes in a pageant for all the right reasons and opens some eyes along the way.
She loved her aunt who has passed away.
Yes.
And her
Jennifer Aniston's character's sister.
Correct. Yes. And her aunt taught her to believe in herself no matter what. And she finds an old pageant application from her aunt.
And to hear it described, it sounds kind of hokey. But the way they executed this movie is so well done and hilarious at times that it's definitely worth a watch.
Nice. All right, so next up for me, I've got The Happy Time Murders. I have to include it. It was so fun. It feels like an X-rated version of The Muppet Show. Of course, it was directed by Brian Henson, son of Jim Henson. And we talked a little bit about how there was a lawsuit from Sesame Street, the actual lawyers from Sesame Street. I believe the Count is one of them. They sued him for it being too close to Muppets, but it is a old detective noir story set in an alternate reality where puppets are sentient and can interact with human beings. Melissa McCarthy is in it. She's always pretty hilarious. And
you'll never look at Silly String the same
all
way.
All the puppet jizz aside, I thought it was a very enjoyable film.
Next up for me, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, that was fun.
That was a fun movie. I put it on the list just because of how to do over the top. Yes. I mean, it was as extravagant as you could possibly imagine. And still, it was a fun movie. Likeable actors, a lot of great Asian American actors who I've now seen in other things,
and recognize them from.
Yeah, and you know, mentioning A Simple Favor, the lead actor from Crazy Rich Asians was also in that movie. So it's a good showcase of a lot of our young Asian American talent.
Very much so. The final speech that the main female lead gives to the mother. The mother-in-law was very, like, tear-jerking. And I posted this on our Facebook and Twitter. The Sleepy Skunk trailer mashup includes that scene. it was pretty cool. Sleepy Skunk trailer mashup. Check it out on our Twitter and Facebook. All right, next up for me. Okay, I've got Under the Silver Lake. Under the Silver Lake is a new movie. It's a follow-up for director, he directed It Follows.
Okay.
So it's the follow-up, the second or maybe third feature from this director. And it is once again, a noir story.
Ooh.
Set in Los Angeles. It stars Andrew Garfield, Riley Keough, my girl.
Yay, Riley.
My girl, Riley Keough. Also Topher Grace. Ricky Lindholm is in there. And it investigates a series of murders that happen in the Silver Lake neighborhood of Los Angeles. And to me, it was like The Big Lebowski meets Mulholland Drive.
Very cool.
That was the kind of aesthetic that they combined for this movie.
Andrew, any thoughts on the most recent ones we've mentioned?
I don't know if you mentioned the film I think is my favorite for 2018. So I don't know if I just save that for later or if I can.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, you can.
I think Black Panther is my number one for the year.
Nice.
I think a very important movie. I think it gave a lot of, like some role models to a community that doesn't get a lot of superhero role models. So, I'm a big fan of that movie.
Nice. And Chadwick Boseman
from South Carolina. Yeah.
All right. My next pick is in your top six. So I'm going to make the announcement and just turn it over to you.
That's
to
kind fine.
Of talk about it. Hearts Beat Loud is my
so
next
good.
Pick. And that is starring Nick Offerman. And Toni Collette's in it as well.
She is.
Which I think is, you know, 2018 was the year of Toni Collette, in my opinion.
Also, the breakout star of that, the daughter, is named Kiersey Clemons.
Great Kiersey movie Clemons. With a great, great soundtrack.
I thought Ted Danson was a little bit underrated in this as well. Like the bar owner who sneaks off to go smoke weed. Hearts Beat Loud is awesome. I'll talk a little bit more about it when we get into my top six. So the last one for me before we get into that, excuse me, is going to be A Quiet Place. A Quiet Place, directed and starring John Krasinski and his real-life wife, Emily Blunt, in a kind of post-apocalyptic world where there are, let's
monsters.
Say, there are monsters. Yeah, we can say monsters that hunt by sound, and you have to be absolutely quiet. I think that this isn't really a spoiler because she's pregnant at the beginning of the movie. The scene where Emily Blunt, right?
Yeah, her childbirth scene.
Gives birth while trying to be completely quiet.
It's one of those scenes where you hold your breath because you feel for the character to such a high degree.
Very good. All right, so now we're into the top six.
We're in our top six.
All right, so you go first.
All right,
these are unranked.
Unranked. I am going to go with Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to
Bother You. And that is one of those strange movies that...
Super strange.
And high marks to the marketing team that put it out as something that it was just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. So you come into this movie saying, okay, it's going to be kind of funny because he talks in this white guy voice as a telemarketer.
Mm-hmm.
And then... And then it all changes from there.
It does completely change.
And it's one of those where you just have to see it. You can't really describe it to somebody because you're going to give away way too much.
It was directed by hip-hop artist Boots Riley, and he actually developed this concept years earlier and couldn't quite make the feature happen, so they made an album about the same subject. And you can listen to that album from Boots Riley and his group, The Coop.
Cool.
And so the star of Sorry to Bother You, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it as well because it's one of my top six as well, is Lakeith Stanfield, who a lot of people would recognize from Atlanta, the show starring Donald Glover. He's the friend of Paperboy.
Okay.
Also, Tessa Thompson is in this.
Yes, she is.
Absolutely great. We've got Terry Crews in the film. And also, we've got the white voices.
Yes.
Of Patton Oswalt and David Cross.
Very good.
In the movie, which is such a meta commentary on... society right now and racial relations. And I just thought it was beautifully done.
I thought it was beautifully done and beautifully timed.
Yes. All right. So I will go ahead and go with mid-90s. Mid-90s is the directorial debut from Jonah Hill. Of course, people recognize him from movies like
Superbad,
Moneyball, and tons of things. He's kind of moved from comedy into drama a little bit.
Yep.
And this is his first directorial feature. It's very much influenced by the Harmony Korine movie Kids, in that it's about 90s skaters. We've got this misfit adolescent who doesn't know where his place is, hasn't quite figured out his identity, and he falls in with a group of skater boys. And a real slice of 90s life.
And I'll piggyback what you just said about slice of life with my next pick then, and that's going to be Roma.
Oh, man, so good.
Roma is an exquisitely filmed movie. Beautiful.
Alphonse Cuarón.
A true slice of life. It's the fictional recollection, I guess you would call it, of his nanny caretaker that he had as a child, and the importance that she played to his childhood, you know, growing up. And it's just a gorgeous film and such sweet scenes in it. It's one of my favorites for 2018.
Very nice.
And rightfully so. It's getting Oscar buzz. And it's going to have to be admitted because of the Netflix release. It did have a small theatrical release.
They did a theatrical release
prior
first,
to being
yes.
available on Netflix. So I think they'll technically be eligible.
I think it is a front runner for Best Picture. You heard it here first, folks. Andrew, thoughts?
That's a bold pick, but we'll see.
We will see. All right, so next up for me, you already spoke about it. I'm going to talk about Hearts Beat Loud. This is directed by Brett Haley, and it stars Nick Offerman, and he is kind of an aging hipster. He's also a single dad. He's got a daughter who is about to go off to college to law school, right? She's, or maybe accounting, business school. Anyway, she's about to go off to a very serious career, and he just wants them to make music together. And they finally get a chance to sit down, and she's been working on poetry, and he's a pretty competent musician, and they have a song, and it becomes an underground hit. And it's kind of a coming of age slash midlife crisis.
It's more of a midlife crisis, yeah. Empty nest syndrome kind of story, but beautiful. A sweet, sweet movie.
I loved it.
All right, so my next pick will be Black Klansman.
Okay.
Black Klansman, Spike Lee joint about the African American undercover operative in
who infiltrates
the KKK. And some excellent performances. I cannot say enough how great Topher Grace is in that film.
As David Duke.
It's chilling how accurately he portrays that piece of shit. Just a great film. I'm not a huge fan of Spike Lee's movies. I feel that Spike gets a little heavy-handed on a lot of his stuff.
He sometimes is controversial for the sake of being controversial.
Exactly, and there's a lot of soapboxing that goes on. And I think that there's a little bit of that here because of the subject matter, but I think he holds himself back a little bit and lets the actors do their thing. Adam Driver was fantastic in this.
He's always good.
He's so freaking good in it. I think he might get a supporting actor nod as well.
I could totally see that happening. Okay, so next one for me. Speaking of Star Wars, you said Adam Driver. He's Kylo Ren. I'm a huge Star Wars buff, and of course I have to include Solo, A Star Wars Story, in my top six. So it is a standalone Star Wars movie. It's not in the really the timeline or the main series, but I thought that it was outstanding. Alden Ehrenreich plays Han Solo, and there was rumors about reshoots that had to happen because he wasn't up to the task, but I think that he nailed it. Of course, we've also got Donald Glover as a young Lando Calrissian.
He was so good.
What can't he do? Like, seriously. Well, we've got Woody Harrelson. We've got Emilia Clarke, of course, from Game of Thrones. And I thought it was a very solid installment to the Star Wars canon.
And who played the droid? Andrew Tudyk?
Tudyk. Let's see.
What's his first name? Anyway.
Clint Howard. No. Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. What's up for you?
My next film is Eighth Grade.
I've got this as well, so let's talk about it together.
Eighth Grade is the directorial debut of Bo Burnham.
Bo Burnham. Stand-up comedian, kind of comedic protege, not protege, but prodigy.
Yes.
He was a very young successful comedian.
Comic. And he said that he did not want to do an autobiographical movie where he discussed the awkwardness of being at that age. And so he really threw himself into this girl that he created, and really
figuratively,
really touchingly. Oh, thank you. really touchingly interpreted what it must be like for a girl to go through that stage of her life in this day and age. Having a niece and a goddaughter who are around that same age, I identified a lot with that need to fit in.
Right.
But it was much different than when we grew up. Our need to fit in was it seemed so alien to me.
Advent of cellular phones and social media are a huge factor in adolescent life.
It's almost like the pressure has been ratcheted up to fit in or, and to create the identity for yourself. And it's actually, that movie actually gave me a lot of insight into their real lives based on this purely fictional character that he created. But I thought it was beautiful. The final, the spaghetti scene at the end was just great. So
the dad was really
the
good
dad was
too.
Really good, and just, you know, wanting to just scoop in and save his daughter, and just so many good things in this movie. And I really love this movie.
I read an article about the research that Bo Burnham did prior to filming this, and it was essentially YouTube videos. He went online and watched a ton of that demographic, that mm-hmm. age group, and their YouTube posts to kind of get the feel for how kids are thinking, how they're expressing it. And I thought it was really great.
Very cool.
You got one more?
I got two more picks.
Okay.
Next up for me is Mandy.
You're a fine girl.
With our boy, Nicolas Cage. The director of this film is... Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't, but I can look it up right now.
While you're looking that up, I liken this movie to a drug-induced heavy metal music video.
Panos Cosmatos.
Very good. This guy's got a bright future. This is his second big pick.
Yeah, we watched his first feature at Scary Movie Night this year. It was Beyond the Black Rainbow.
It's one of those movies where the first 30 minutes you're just like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if I like it. And then all of a sudden you're sucked into this trippy tale of revenge.
Very psychedelic revenge. Also, there's the cult aspect. That cult leader was creepy as fuck.
Absolutely. And there are, and Hillary and I have talked about this frequently, there are things in the beginning of the film that seem just, you know, very mundane things that figure into even the end of the movie. And so you feel compelled to like watch it again. And then you're starting to say, oh God, this guy's really thought everything through.
Yeah.
So, I loved it. It is the appropriate film for Nicolas Cage to do his over the top.
So he said recently in an interview that his next film will be even crazier. And that's just Nicolas Cage. He's just like, Cage! Andrew, thoughts?
Maybe Nicolas Cage thinks, like, backwards. So it's like a more tame movie, but
that's
for
crazier?
Him, it's crazy for him to gotcha. Do a tame movie.
It's opposite day every day for Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
All right, so I think that my last one and your last one overlap.
Okay.
Is it Hereditary?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Hereditary. It's not my top movie of 2018, but it is the last one in my top six that I'm going to mention. Probably the scariest movie I've seen, not only this year, but in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Very innovative. Toni Collette, of course, is unhinged in this performance. All around, Gabriel Byrne is subdued but pivotal to the movie. What do you think, Sean?
I think it's very important that he is so subdued and disconnected. This movie is a horror movie in the most untraditional sense of the word, despite its Rosemary's Baby type structure. Yeah. It talks about the horrors of family and having
macabre?
A dysfunctional family.
Okay.
A dysfunctional family where people don't talk to each other, where someone's in the room doing the crazy thing and they're not acknowledging it. And that theme is beaten over your head with the fire. You know, it's just like, yeah, there's shit going on and people aren't acknowledging the elephant in the room. And that, for that reason, there are people I know who can't watch this movie because it hits too close to home.
Yeah.
There's
other reasons that some people might not be able to watch this movie.
Yeah, it's trigger filled.
Yes.
But there are some other cool elements to this. The number six in the film, there are various shapes in the movie that are done in sequences of six, if you have to watch that very carefully. There are just some really fun things that they did in building the story to add that creep factor and ratcheting it up. But again, going back to the Rosemary's Baby thing, That ominous creepiness to building up to the final. I thought it was great. And Toni Collette, I have seen discussion about her from other respected movie journals saying that she's definitely a shoe-in for
some of our peers.
Yeah, yeah. Best actress nomination for her because she was really good.
So good. So the director was Ari Aster. Ari Aster. And I'm looking at his filmography and I'm not recognizing a lot of it. He directed a movie called Munchausen. He directed a movie called Beau, B-E-A-U. And then also The Turtle's Head. So maybe this is his big breakout.
The other thing about the film that I liked was the marketing and promotion of the film was like a complete curveball from what the film was about. They really made it about the daughter and how awkward and weird she was. And like I watched it thinking, is she possessed by a demon? Is she like the villain?
She was the most normal one of the
family. Is she the villain in this movie? And so like you're like, you know, something's off with this girl. And boy, that's not the case at all. That was definitely definitely a surprise for me, going from the marketing to the actual
film. Oh, yeah.
Film.
They didn't reveal a lot in the trailers. Mm-mm. Or the posters, and I think a lot of people were surprised about the events that unfolded.
I know a lot of people didn't know what to make of it either, even after seeing the film.
Right.
Some people thought it was going to be a horror movie in the traditional sense, and were disappointed because it didn't meet their expectations.
I think that most people's idea of a traditional horror is not actually a horror.
I agree.
All right, so Andrew, thoughts?
I think these are some good picks, and definitely have some homework to do to
catch these up. Is there
any
movie that you saw this year that you think we should have included?
No, nothing that was like from 2018.
Okay.
So not meeting your criteria, but oh, there's a good list, you guys.
The Man from Earth.
Yeah, that's a bit older, but see that movie.
And if anybody listening disagrees, please send us a message.
Hit us up on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We also have a Facebook account. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. Our email is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And also the beers that we checked in today, we will check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. If you like the show, go ahead and subscribe to us on whatever podcatcher app you're using to listen to us, and review and give us a rating. We love that stuff. We love feedback. And I want to thank Andrew for being here on the show with his chiming in.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. And as always, I want to thank my co-host, my co-producer, the brew boss, Sean. Thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, the listeners. Please keep on listening. And like we said, give us whatever feedback you have. We take suggestions, anything like that. And as always, please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit. Tip your bartenders.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!